that song, we used to sing it all the time. It's an oldie, but I was thinking it sure is nice hearing the church clapping. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. There's some, you might not be able to do a lot of things, but most of us can clap. Amen. And God loves to hear our praise. And if we can whisper, if we can dance, if we can clap, whatever it is we can do for God, amen, He is worthy. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump right in. Praise God. We're going to continue in our series. Before you sit down, if we can go through Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're continuing our series, Heroes in Whom We Can Believe. And today's focus is on Jesus. Particularly born to redeem. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And right after that, we're going to go to Luke 10 and 2. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A very familiar Christmas verse, if you will. Luke 10 and 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. How many know Mark Lowry? Well, according to Mark Lowry, Mary may have been the first to carry the gospel. However, when it came to announcing the birth of Jesus to shepherds who were watching their sheep on the hillside, the angels were the first to bring the message of good news. And they announced that glorious message that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. And so when the angels came to the shepherd, the world was much like today. It was torn by hatred and suspicion and racial bigotry. But the good news would bring great joy all the people. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, I'm going to read. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're all familiar with the Christmas story, but if we can just relate to what the world was back then, the world is still torn by violence and hatred. The news media is filled with troublesome stories. You can't even, if you like the news, you can't even turn on the news. Besides, you'd get depressed or you'd get angered or something would rile you up, you know. It seems like they're always preaching a sermon on the news instead of actually telling you what happened. Even sports today, you can't even either go to a game or watch a game without having the world's ways being thrown at you in your face or some kind of a protest or some kind of riot or what have you. And the world is in turmoil. So little found in current news may be classified as good. However, there is still good news. It is the same gospel message that was proclaimed by the angels at the birth of Jesus. And that message is, unto you is born a Savior. You know, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was destined before birth to live and die and become the Savior of mankind. The prophets foresaw it. The angels revealed it, and Jesus declared it. And we can find in John 18:37, Jesus said, for this cause, when he was talking to Pilate, he says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I to the world, in John 18:37. You know, John 3:16, it's known as the golden text of the Bible. And this verse declares that same angelic message, but in different words. How many here can quote that verse? Anybody want to stand and quote it? John 3:16. I know it's early. Go ahead, sister. Amen. When I was taking piano lessons as a small boy, I think I was, 8 or 9 years old, I had a piano teacher that I would have to do a memory verse before we'd start the lesson. And that was one of her favorite. You know, and if you got one word right, we could not go into the lesson until you got that correct. And I remember that one because that was her favorite. For God so loved the world. His birth into the world and his death on a cruel cross, Jesus provided the salvation for everyone who will believe and obey the gospel. And this is the focus of our lesson today. So if you miss anything, don't miss this. It was into the hands of others that Jesus committed the responsibility of telling everyone that old angelic message, unto you is born a Savior. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, if we can turn to that. And pardon the screen, because I did not give the guys a list of verses, so they're scrambling back there. Okay. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter, he used the keys of the kingdom to open the door of salvation. However, before one could actually come and repent and be baptized, he must hear the good news of what Jesus has provided for him. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And I believe what you can take that term, that singular word preacher, and it's really talking about the ministry of the church. Each one of us has a ministry. There's not a single one of us that is left out of this. We're all held responsible to proclaim that good news. And as a preacher, Peter did this when he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. So, as I was studying for this lesson, we were on the series Heroes for Whom We Can Believe, and me personally, I would have gone a whole bunch of different directions, I think, when we focus on Jesus. I mean, he's my hero for so many different reasons. But in this lesson here, we want to study how the good news of salvation is to be proclaimed to all men everywhere. You know, and the timing is just very, very neat, I think, and I just love how God does things. And Sister Davis didn't know that this was the lesson this morning, but yet, months back, God laid on her heart to take it to the streets. Amen? And we have started that, and we got it going right here today. So if we can just maybe be challenged a bit in this word and maybe get excited and knowing that we don't have to have a 4-year degree or a bachelor's degree or even being raised up in Pentecost. We could be first generation Pentecost, or we could be multiple generation Pentecost, but God wants to use each and every one of us. He set us right here that he has prayed, Lord, for the harvest, that the laborers are needed, desperately needed. Amen. And I'll go into that a little bit further. It's into the hands of others that Jesus committed the responsibility of telling all people everywhere that angelic message that a Savior is born. You know, God made no other provision, and that's what we need to focus on. You know, for a lost world to hear the good news, that was his only plan for men and women to hear the plan of salvation is through other men. Amen. If the church fails in this great commission of preaching the gospel, there is no other means of rescuing the perishing from a lost eternity. Think about that. The people that we rub shoulders with each and every day. Amen. You know, it all started out with the angels. One of my favorite verses in Christmas time is, and it's not a Christmas verse, but it applies. It seems like it's the only time the world will put it on their windows or whatever, but it's a lifelong verse, and that's Isaiah 9:6. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Oh, I really love that verse. Amen. And the message of the birth of a Savior was so tremendous that God used angels to proclaim, to make this announcement. But after that initial proclamation, individuals became the ones responsible for spreading that joyful news. In the New Testament, God used angels four times to proclaim messages of great importance. And each one of them is a great instant in the New Testament, starting with the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and the special announcement to the Gentiles, and also in Revelation when the announcement of judgment was here. God used angels in each four of those times. But at no time, get this, at no time did angels go into the details of the plan of salvation. God chose to use the angels to proclaim announcements of great importance to those who were charged with the task of telling the unsaved about salvation. Amen. When the women went to the tomb of Jesus, we find in Luke 24, 5 and 6, what did the angel say? The angel came out and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." And what did the women do? They ran to tell the story. Okay? The tremendous announcement of this resurrection was made by the angels, but they gave no explanation of just how the resurrection would save the souls of men and women. This was left for mankind. When the gospel was to be preached to the Gentiles, God sent an angel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 5, 6. At the same time, God anointed Peter and gave him a vision. Before it was time to eat, he had a vision of the Gentiles. But God sent an angel to Cornelius, and in Acts chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, it says, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." And it goes on to say, "He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." See, the angel did not tell Cornelius how to be saved. You know, in Revelation 14, it is recorded that an angel is to preach the everlasting gospel. Basically, make that announcement of judgment, which is a message of judgment. In Revelation 14 and 7, it says, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." Likewise, at the birth of Jesus, the angels didn't tell the shepherds how to be saved, but they proclaimed the birth of a Savior. You know, they did describe certain results of the gospel, however. If you look at what they said, they talked about a removal of fear. They talked about the experience of great joy. And they talked about the promise of peace. Wherever, think about this, and whenever the gospel is preached, these three characteristics are always evident. You know, I think about last week when Ethan was baptized. And I just couldn't wait to hear his result, his first words from that event, that special event in his life. I remember when I was baptized in that same baptismal, and just a little child. I remember how I felt. I remember going to school the next day and how excited I was. And Ethan comes home, and I said, "How was your day?" And he says, "I told everybody I was baptized." "Well, not my gym teacher." And so I said, "Well, what about being baptized? How do you feel?" He goes, I didn't ask him that. I said, "So what about you?" He goes, "My heart feels good." Isn't that beautiful? My heart feels good. The removal of fear, the experience of great joy, and the promise of peace. That's what the angels were saying when they proclaimed a Savior is born. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to know that the gospel removes from each one of our hearts fear. You know, fear is very strong in this world today. It attacks everybody. It's amazing how much anxiety and things that guys at work go through, and depression, and I'm not knocking nobody. Satan is, he's going all at it right now. And I'm going to mention that if I don't forget. Maybe I'll just mention it right now in case I do forget. I believe we are in the 11th hour. I believe Peter thought that he was in the 11th hour when he preached Acts 2:38 in Acts chapter 2. And if he thought that we were in the last hour in the first generation, how much so the 21st generation are we in that 11th hour? And if Satan attacked that hard back then, how much more harder is he going to attack now? Amen? But I'm so glad that when we have salvation, we don't have fear. Amen? Fear is wiped away. Amen? It is replaced with joy. It is replaced with peace. And that peace can only come through salvation, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we apply that to our lives. You know, the gospel brings great joy into the life of a believer. In Isaiah chapter 12 and 3, it says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Romans chapter 14 and 17, it talks about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not mere formalities. Okay, but the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, okay? But it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Wells is teaching, enjoying the journey. Amen. We can have great joy in this journey. Even under our trials, even under attacks from Satan, amen, we can have great joy in this journey. The angels also said, peace, goodwill toward all men. That comes with the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There was little peace upon the earth that first Christmas night when the angels proclaimed their message. Everywhere there was hatred. If you think about that scene, there was still racial prejudice. There was religious bigotry. Israel was under the bondage of Rome. And the Jews responded to their Gentile rulers with a fierce hatred. They hated them. And little has changed in the world today in this respect. We have a world today that is on fire. It's a world in crisis. Somebody made a comment in a quote, and I didn't write it down here, but America may have won many wars, but they have lost the peace. Only in the hearts of Christian believers is there real peace. Elsewhere, there is no peace. There is no other satisfaction. Only Jesus can satisfy our soul, that longing in our soul. But in spite of all of this, the angels did proclaim peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was born to bring real peace to troubled mankind. In Romans 5:1, it says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If people would cease fighting God and truly submit and surrender to God's will, there would be real peace upon the earth. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. It's not politics. It's not laws or ordinances. Amen. Or taxes or no tax. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. So the shepherds were the first to carry the good news to others. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says what they did with that message. It says, "They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They made known abroad. They didn't keep it to themselves. Amen. "All who heard the message of the shepherds wondered and were amazed at the account brought to them." What was this message that the shepherds proclaimed? What had they been told about the newborn child? In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ, David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the angels told the shepherds three things about Jesus. And all of these are a lesson in themselves. But he is the Savior. He is the Christ. And he is the Lord. Jesus is not only a Savior, he is the Savior. Acts 4 and 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus is the Savior. Isaiah 43, 11, it says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. Not only is Jesus the only Savior, but he is able to save to the uttermost. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole entire world. And in Jesus, and another thing is said that Jesus is the Christ. This title of our Lord, it means anointed one or the Messiah. For centuries, the Jews had longed for the coming of their Messiah. Now he had come to them born in this lowly state, that the Jews failed to recognize him, and eventually they rejected him, Brother Tom. But this did not make him any less the anointed one. He was then and still is the Christ. No, the third thing it says that Jesus is Lord. The title stands for the God of the Old Testament in his work of redemption, the name of Jehovah. It could be substituted here. If you look at Acts chapter 9, verse 5, we find where Saul, on the road to Damascus, when he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Jehovah?" And the answer that was given him is, "I am Jesus." Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Christ, and he is our Lord. And to sum it up, in essence, this is the gospel message. And when the gospel is preached, Jesus is preached. When Peter made his final statement, actually, if you look at the birthday of the church, when Peter preached the message recorded in Acts chapter 2, the heart of this sermon was the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And when he made his final statement that Jesus was both Lord and Christ in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the people were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out for the plan of salvation. What shall we do? You know, there is a mammoth task for the church today. So let's bring this closer to home. What is the church's responsibility? What is our responsibility? Look to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, Peter didn't really understand that at the time when he was given that sermon in chapter 2, when the prophet Joel said that in the last days I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. He thought it was just Jew flesh. He didn't have the full picture until the vision came, and then the angel spoke to Cornelius, and they came, and the Gentiles were brought into the church. But in Acts chapter 1:8, it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." That's the whole world. Didn't leave anything out. Jesus did not come into this world to save just a select few. He came to die for all people everywhere. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave of himself. The gospel is to be preached to the whole world, not leave anybody out. God shows no partiality. It is his will that all people should hear the good news of salvation and be saved. In Matthew 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." This certainly was his perfect will concerning the message of salvation. And let me just pause there. The plan of salvation wasn't something that God, I got to fix something. This is really going awry. I need to take a detour. No, we already read in Revelations that Jesus was the Lamb from the very foundation of the world. Before the world was even formed, Jesus knew that I'm going to create this flesh. I'm going to create human, and I'm going to give them a mind of choice, where they can make their own choice, but they're going to make wrong choices, and they're going to go back on me, and I'm going to have to redeem them. This plan was all the way from the very, very beginning. One of my favorite phrases is, "There's nothing that takes my God by surprise." Amen. God is in control. Amen. From the beginning to the end. Amen. Praise God. As he committed this ministry into the hands of others, he planned that they would take the good news into all the world until there would be not even a remote corner where the gospel had not been preached. God desires that every person should have the opportunity to hear the gospel. He tells us that he desires that no man perish. It is his will that each one would be saved. All groups, all nationality, all races, he wants it all. We find in the New Testament various individuals from diverse areas given the opportunity to hear the gospel. You have the Ethiopian in Acts 8. You have Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. And Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion in Acts 10. If you look and consider the Ethiopian, you know, he was excluded from the temple because of his physical condition. You look at Saul. He was a Jew. You look at the third, he was a Gentile. Cornelius was a Gentile. By studying each one of these conversions, of these three individuals, we can see that the gospel is for all people everywhere. Amen. The rich, the poor, the lame, the physically fit. Amen. Brown skin, black skin, white skin, yellow skin. It's for all of them. Jesus did not just come for a select few. The good news of salvation is that all people, regardless of race, class, and culture, can repent of their sins and be saved. That's beautiful. That is very beautiful. You know, first it all started out by Jesus calling the 12 disciples. And the word disciple means learner. And it is applied to all followers of Jesus Christ. And the word apostle means one sent forth on a mission. But after he had called the 12, he gave them authority over demons and power to heal those who were afflicted. He sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God. And they obeyed him and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And after that, he later used that same method in Judea, but on a larger scale. In Luke 10, verse 9, and he gave and sent out the 70. And he says, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And Jesus gave the reason for this campaign, that the harvest was great, but the laborers were few. We read that in our scripture text in Luke 10:2. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, there is a great urgency. And this is where the church needs to wake up. Okay? There is a great urgency for Christians to dedicate themselves to sharing the good news with the lost and the perishing. Jesus has committed this ministry into the hands of his followers. They must not fail in preaching the gospel because there is no other alternative for the world. This is God's great plan to reach the unreached. He chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Sometimes I think, well, who will hear me? I'm nobody. But that's what God chose. He chose the foolishness. It may sound foolish, it may look foolish, but he chose the foolishness of ministry, of sharing the gospel to reach the lost. Amen. And that great commission in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When he said preach, Jesus expected obedience. When he said baptize, it was a command. The disciples were not to question, they were simply to believe and obey. Amen. And his command also applies to us just as it did back then. It's just as important today as it was then. And you know, I'm going to bring out here where I think it's even more important. You know, we can turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. We'll read 16 through 23. Or maybe I'll just sum it up. I'll just sum it up. It says, a certain man had a great supper, okay? And he sent out the invitations. Go tell them, come, for all things are now ready. You know, and they all, with one consent, what they do, they started to become making excuses. Oh, you know, it was a late night, Pastor. What are we going to do about lunch? didn't we have two services already this morning? Okay. They started making excuses, all right? And then the master said, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, we've already done that. They're here. But yet there is still room in the master's house. So he said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Go out to the highways, the city streets. Go out into the hedges, the country roads. He's saying, stretch yourself out. Go deeper. Go further. Amen. Do more. Because my house must be filled. Amen. If we can turn to Matthew chapter 20, begin with verse 1, and I'll end with this. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So what we have is we have somebody who owns a vineyard. and it's harvest time. And it's, I guess, apparently it's grapes. And I don't know if you have to harvest grapes right away, but most times it comes to a point where it's do or die. You get it now or you're going to lose your harvest. And that's where he was right here. It was do or die. So early in the morning, okay, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. That tells me the harvest wasn't really getting done with the first group. Here we're in the third hour. I still got harvest out there. And the master went and hired more. And they agreed on a wage, and they went out. And then again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, found the same situation. The day's almost gone. The harvest is great. We're not getting anywhere fast. I need more laborers. I need those that will come and work out in the field. And then verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out. Let me pause there for a second. The 11th hour to the Jews was that last hour of the workday before it got dark. I'm not sure about what time. I think maybe 6 o'clock, I'll guess. You know, a lot of people put a clock at the 11th hour, and it'll be 11 o'clock. But the point here is, it was the last hour available to get the harvest. It was the last hour to work. Church, we have been going through end times. And if that has not sparked your interest or made you focus on where we are at today, I don't know what's going to get you excited. It's nothing to fear. It's nothing to get depressed about. But to me, it's a sense of urgency. Now is the time. It's do or die. We are in the 11th hour. If it's not us, then who? We are the church. Amen. And that 11th hour, there's a harvest right here in our city, in our community. Amen. Others are doing their part. God put us here for this cause, for such a time as this, in the 11th hour, right here in Sandwich, Illinois. Amen. He put you in your school. He put you in your workplace. He put you in that house where your next door neighbor is. If you don't believe that, you know, I've got a testimony that I can quickly share. But when we moved out to California, when I was a young child, we were Trinity. And we didn't have a house. And we had another Trinitarian person help us find a house. And what did he do? The house that he found us was right next to an apostolic Jesus name preacher. Amen. Before the year was over, we were Jesus' name. We were oneness. Amen. So it's not by chance, not by circumstance, amen, not by coincidence that God puts you where you are today. I cannot reach the ones that you can reach. You cannot reach the ones that I can reach. Amen. We are taking it to the streets, church. This is the 11th hour. I am not trying to pump you up. I am trying to make it real. I am trying to make it real. It is urgent. Amen. If there is not one important thing that we need to do right now, it is the urgency of the harvest. Jesus does not want to see one perish. He is so concerned that he is going out to everyone. Everyone, if you breathe air and you are my child, there's work for you to do. Amen. It may not be a pulpit ministry. Amen. It may be coming to church every day and getting your knees on that pew and praying before a church. Amen. It may be looking for somebody. You know what? This brother, nobody talks to him. I'm going to go talk to him. Amen. Amen. It may be this sister over here that's hurting. You know what? God laid in my heart. I'm going to pray for you. It may be a Bible study. It may be going to preach somewhere. Amen. There is something for every one of us to do, no matter what the age. Amen. Whether you are 5, 6, 50, 80, or 90, there is something for you to do in this 11th hour. Amen. Let me finish reading verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Jesus looking, he's seeing people not doing stuff, and saith unto him, why stand ye here all the day idle? And look at their response. And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. There are some waiting for an angel to come and say, you're called to preach. There's some waiting for an angel to come and pull them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, if you will. They're waiting for some angelic message or maybe the voice of thunder from God. God put it right here in his word, Mark 16:15. Go ye everywhere into all the world and to preach the gospel. He has already given you the authority. When he sent the 12 out, when he sent the 70 out, he gave them the authority to heal the sick, to cast out devils, amen, to preach the gospel, amen. That is us. That is every one of us. I'm not saying you to go out on your own. I'm saying it doesn't need to be an organized effort. What I'm saying is, if your fire is not lit, you need to light that fire. Will there be oil in your lamp when he returns? Will he find you working? The Bible says, work while it is day, for when night cometh, no man shall work. We are in that last hour, that 11th hour. Go to your pastor. Tell him what God has been talking to you about. Say, you know what? I want to teach a Bible study. What do you think I should start with? I want to teach a Sunday school class. Where's the need? I want to go reach the community. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? You know, we may be individuals, but we are all together the bride of Christ. We are Jesus' children. We are his sons, and we are his daughters. And he said by the power of the Holy Ghost that he will lead us and guide us. And we don't have to worry about things to take on the journey, because he will give us the words to say, and he will speak through us. Will there be faith when I return? Can we have enough faith that God can use you? Can you muster up enough faith that, you know, God, I don't know what it is that you could use me in, but here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Praise God. Can we all stand? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was telling Brother Tom, I don't know how this is going to go. I struggled all week, physically and other things, and I really didn't put my notes together like I normally do. And I finally just had to put it away and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. And I can say it right now. Please don't take this as a pat on my back. I am not trying to build up my ego. God, you know the truth right here, Lord Jesus. But I want to let you know that for the last 15 minutes, those words came from God. Those were not in my notes. God is talking to this church right here, right now. He is talking to me. Yes. He's talking to you. Yes. Amen. Yes. We are doing something very special today out there. Yes. Taking it to the streets. I don't know what the outcome of that is, but I want to say this. No matter what we see with our physical eyes, yes. Sister Davis, oh, let us hold on, hold fast, and hold strong, and know that God did a work here today, yes, in Sandwich, Illinois. Amen. I know a preacher today that was my favorite preacher, and he's gone to see the Lord. And he was saved by his parents not allowing him to go to church, but the church would have the windows open, and he would be by his room, got his ear stuck out, and he would be listening. And he only had one good ear. He was born with a deformed ear. But he was doing his part, and he would stretch that ear as far as he could, and he heard the death and the burial, the resurrection. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure the preacher that was preaching that day, he may have thought it was falling on deaf ears, but it did fall on deaf ears. There was a man that was deaf in one ear, and that went through the good ear, and he was saved, and he became a preacher, an apostolic preacher. And he touched this young boy, and he actually preached right here in this church a long time ago. Our God is able.
Yes, he is.
We don't have to worry about our ableness.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about our talents.
Praise.
We just have to be available. Oh, that is the message of the times.
Yes.
God is seeing, my house is full, but my field is empty. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can.
they continue to sing, these altars are open. I encourage you to come and pray. Classes will be returning here momentarily, a few minutes before we begin the next session. As they continue to sing and play, can you come? And if nothing else, can you pray for the remainder of this day? Lord, to use us. Lord, in the service that is yet to come, God, and in the taking it to the streets we're doing this afternoon, Lord, let your hand be upon us. Use us, God. Let connections be made. Let us speak words of life and encouragement, God, the strength of the community, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hand.